Monday, March 25th, is the International Day for the Unborn. On this day, Linda Znatchko will bury a baby. Now, it's not her baby by birth, but she claimed him after he died. She named him Baby Blake. She runs a ministry called He Knows Your Name, and this is all about what the Lord does through a name, why there's significance in recognizing a life, even if it's not one that's lived for a long time. Please listen to the interview after our sponsor.
Hello, everyone. This is Steve Green. I'm the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network and love our family here at Charisma. And I remember back in a lot of my days as a pastor and as a leader of students, as a dean and as a college professor for most of my life, I've seen people in times of need. I've tried to help them. Sometimes pastoral counseling can only go so far. We can only say so much. And there's times to turn to a professional. And I recognize those times often in the various stages of life. People just need a little extra help. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with going to a doctor, getting medical attention, or folks just for reaching out and trying to talk to someone in a time of need. So I want to introduce you to some friends of ours that are sponsoring the Charisma News, and we're so thankful for that. But I want to talk to you from my heart about the importance of going and reaching out to people who are professional and know what they're doing and have and can give wise counsel. The name of the company is BetterHelp Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed, that's so important, licensed Christian counselors who share our faith, who will help you through whatever problem it is that you need to talk to someone about. You can begin a conversation whenever you're ready. You can do it by text or by phone or even on a secure video conference line right from your home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can just connect through any of the devices that are available. These counselors, the faithful counselors, share our faith and Christian values, and they have the experience, a professional experience, to help you with any of the issues that you want to chat about. They combine biblical wisdom with clinical expertise in mental health. Our counselors do their best to invite God into the conversation, and they help you to formulate an action plan that will address the challenges that all of their clients face. You know, the more private you think your problem is, I'm going to tell you as a pastor that it's pretty universal. The very deep problem you have is probably a universal problem. Other folks have it. So the goal of BetterHelp Faithful Counseling is to help your well-being, get you back to that mental state of peace and love and harmony, so that you're going to feel mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. So I'm going to recommend you go to faithfulcounseling.com. Let me say it again, faithfulcounseling.com, and then put a slash Charisma News. I want you to do that. Don't forget that backslash, because you'll get 10% off your first month, and that's important. We want you to note that you were listening to Charisma News, but they're going to reward you with a discount. So it's faithfulcounseling.com/charisma news, and you'll have 10% off your first month. You'll be asked to fill out a questionnaire. That's just going to help you to assess your needs and help them to understand where you are at the moment, and they'll use that to match you up with the right counselor, not just the first available phone, but the right counselor. Again, faithfulcounseling.com/charisma news. Now, I want to say a couple of things about what it's not. This is not a crisis line. This is not just a phone you pick up and just anyone's there to talk to you. These are licensed United States therapists across all 50 states. It's available worldwide. 4 communication modes. That means you can talk to them by text, by chat, by phone, and even video. It's all included. You can start communicating with someone. You can get help within 24 hours, under 24 hours, really. It's available on your desktop. It's on a mobile web. It's on an Android and iOS apps. You can schedule video and phone sessions. You can do that weekly if you care to. It really just depends on what the therapist thinks you need to do. And you'll talk it out. You'll agree to it. No one's going to twist your arm or tie you into a long-term contract. They're going to talk to you. It's easy to change counselors if you happen to connect with someone and you don't feel connected. They can help you by finding another counselor that maybe is able to talk to you on your terms. So I wanted you to make sure you understood that you can change counselors if you want to. They have broad expertise in their entire network of counselors, and they're going to be able to connect with you in a way that maybe someone locally can't do that. The broad counselor base is what's going to help you. Financial aid is available if you qualify. And I want to tell you, it's secure. You can trust them. They wouldn't be on this network. You can trust them. They're convenient, they're professional, and they're affordable. And remember, you get 10% off your first month if you use this code, faithfulcounseling.com/charisma. I'm thankful for these folks. I'm thankful that a Christian ministry is available to help those of you who just need a little help talking through some issues. faithfulcounseling.com/charisma. Now back to the news.
Welcome back. My name is Jocelyn Lancaster, and today I am honored to introduce you guys to one of my favorite people, Linda Znachko of He Knows Your Name. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you.
Now, you have such a unique ministry. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my ministry just started in 2009 when a baby was found abandoned in a dumpster, and I called the coroner's office and said, what happens to a baby that's been found that has been deceased and unclaimed? And I learned a lot about what happens in that whole networking system, and what I found I didn't like. And mm-hmm. so I wanted to claim that baby and give that baby an honorable, dignified burial and a name. And I've been doing that now for almost 10 years with babies abandoned at hospitals, at the coroner's office, and out in the wilderness.
It's such a special thing, I think, that you have taken up this calling, because each of these babies matters to the Lord. Now, you have a funeral coming up on the International Day of the Unborn, which is Monday, March 25th. Can you tell us the significance of this?
Right. So when I found out that this baby was not claimed at an inner city hospital here in Indianapolis, I went through all the regular legal paperwork that we need to do to claim the baby. And when I looked at the calendar to see, you know, and pray through, okay, you know, when should I have this funeral, and just get everything in place. And then this day popped up on my calendar, and I knew instantly that this was the day that I was going to honor this baby's life. And I'm always looking for legacy on life, because even a baby that I never met and didn't know much about, it just always amazes me that the supernatural is on them, mm-hmm. because they are a children of God. And
absolutely.
I just felt that that popped off the calendar to me, like, this is going to be, this baby is going to be a way for me to have this message on this child's life. There's no better day to celebrate life than on the day of the unborn child.
Mm. It's so powerful. Now, explain to me a little bit of the details of your ministry with He Knows Your Name. Like, walk me through the process. You have claimed a baby who was left someplace. Now what happens?
Right. So especially, like, we'll just talk about it in regard to a hospital. So, you know, a mom delivers a baby, and they give the mom bereavement care and support and offer her all kinds of options, but tell her that according to the law, the baby must be just dealt with in death in mm-hmm. a very specific way after being born after 20 weeks. And so they go through the whole legal part of that for the mom. And they say, you know, we understand that you need to leave and go get your affairs in order, but, you know, you need to come back and take care of your baby in death. And when the mom doesn't, not only does she not come back with resources, you know, to then have the baby transported to a funeral home, but she doesn't return phone calls. And then they put a notice on her house or back where she lives, or they go through the records that they have with the medical information, and they can't find her anymore. And then they post a post in the paper or online to try and find her or anyone in the family that will take responsibility for the baby in death. And so it's really not just a mom who says no, it's a whole family, because a lot of people knew this woman was pregnant, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this baby then ends up kind of getting stuck in a legal system, if you will, within the hospital. So once they've exhausted all of their legal process, the end of it really says that anyone from the public can come forward and claim the deceased. Mm-hmm. And so He Knows Your Name has become that person, an organization for many of the hospital networks in Indianapolis. And so that I start claiming all these babies that are left. They have medical records. The moms have medical records. And so, you know, there's this HIPAA thing I have to deal with. Sometimes the babies are named and sometimes they're not. by the mother, but the baby always has the mother's last name. Mm-hmm. So when I have a funeral, I end up proceeding with taking the baby, having the baby transported to a funeral home. I always use Indiana Funeral Care here in Indianapolis. And then I go to a funeral or a cemetery and I choose a plot of land and I sign all that paperwork that legally is documented, you know, by my state saying that I've claimed this baby. Mm-hmm. I can name the baby and celebrate life. And so that's what I'm going to do on Monday at 10:30 here in Indianapolis for baby Blake. I will have his celebration of life in a chapel at Washington Park East Cemetery and honor him and do it really under, you know, the banner of this beautiful day. I just think it's wonderful that years ago we had a pope that decided that he would make this day, the International Day of the Unborn, a day to celebrate and mm-hmm. celebrate human dignity. And people are celebrating it all over the world. It, in fact, really is an international day. So I'm just trying to utilize the banner of that day mm-hmm. in celebrating baby Blake's life.
Now, tell me the spiritual significance of naming these children.
Well, I mean, as children of God, the fingerprint of God and image of God is on each and every one of us. And the Bible tells us in so many places that God summons us by names. I mean, the book of Isaiah says it in several places. And when he summons us by name, he bestows upon us the title of honor. Mm. So the name over us is our identity. And I find that very significant and sacred. I always am so honored to name a baby, you know, and just give significance and identity rather than baby doe or mm-hmm. infant so-and-so. You know, some graves that are very old just say infant cook or infant whatever, you know. And I think, you know, to bring a name, it takes the baby from being an event to being a person. Mm. And I find that whether the child was miscarried or stillborn or even an abortion, you know, I find women have tremendous healing in their hearts when they name their babies. Mm-hmm. And they then don't say, I had a miscarriage. They say, you know, baby Blake. And then they have something to talk about that's so different. And it's not just an episode that happened, a medical issue that happened to them, or a crisis or an emotional trauma. It was, in fact, a person. Mm-hmm. And when it's a person, we can give identity and purpose. And then I think that's where healing begins with women.
I love it. Now, tell me a little bit mm-hmm. about how He Knows Your Name affects the living, because you work a lot with deceased babies, but how does this affect people that you're working with on a regular basis?
Well, you're absolutely right, and I love that you asked me that question. We stand at the grave, yes, with a tiny little casket, but people come from all over the community, and we stand together, and I love to say that we're having church without walls, because we come together, and we smell the fresh-turned dirt, and it confronts our own mortality when we do that. And when we give worth, we feel our own worth, and when we give dignity, we feel more dignified. And I believe that that is at the heart of healing for us as a culture, that when we bring light to darkness, and we right the wrong, bringing justice does bring healing, and it gives us perspective back about the value of life. And that is really my goal. And it starts conversations mm-hmm. with people that they otherwise wouldn't have. And so I'm having those conversations with people at the grave, and we're talking about the gospel. And okay, so how this baby, I believe, is going to heaven, and we can talk about the eternal life and the plans and purposes on this baby, but it also confronts the plans and purposes on our own lives. And when I do a service graveside, you know, I'm very interactive with people there and just trying to invite them in to having a conversation instead of just going along with the political standard fare of things. You know, you come here, you stand, you give dignity, it becomes sacred. We feel something, and then we can talk about it. Mm. And I believe that's where the transformation and the renewing of our minds is happening. I'm seeing it in hospitals as I go do the dedication of a cuddle cot, which is a cooling system that aids families bedside who've had infant loss. And I can go into a hospital and say, if we give better bereavement care to families, they'll leave more healthy and whole. I'm wanting to see the healing, and not only the given dignity and death for the babies that have been lost, but also giving blessing to families who are really suffering with grief and loss over mm-hmm. the largest, biggest tragedy they could possibly have. So there's so much interaction with so mm-hmm. much life, whether it's hospital staff or families or a community, or with Safe Haven Baby Box, even where my baby Amelia's footprint is on the logo of the Safe Haven Baby Box, and just being an influencer through legislation and bringing the baby's stories to the State House to say these babies were really people and we need to fight for them and make sure that we give moms in crisis other options. The Safe Haven law has been enhanced here in Indiana with the Safe Haven Baby Box law this last July. And babies are being saved. Live babies are being put in these boxes and within 30 days they're being adopted. So we're giving moms other options. And, you know, by raising awareness and educating people about this anonymous safe surrender option, you know, we're just giving hope. Mm-hmm. And so that, to your point, I mean, that we have to engage people who are living, mm-hmm. of course, with more understanding and raise awareness and educate about all these different things. Because, like, I mean, in the state of Indiana, unfortunately, since the year 2000, we've not put any money into education and raising awareness for the Safe Haven law. But because of these stories and the media attention of them, that becomes really our method of education.
Mm. I love it. And I'm not just saying that like as a curt answer to be like, oh, that's great. I think it's fantastic because this is such a unique ministry and such a unique way that God is spreading his love to people in a mm-hmm. time of deep pain. Now, I remember when I talked to you the first time, it was probably a couple years ago, which is hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But we talked about you being a modern day Joseph of Arimathea. Tell me a little bit about,
yes,
about how he inspires what you do. This biblical, I want to say character, but that makes it sound like he's fictional and he's not. But this biblical hero who is often overlooked, how does he inspire what you do?
Well, you know, it's funny. Someone said it to me one day and, it was like almost the same time of year, you know, where I was we're kind of in this season of anticipating Easter. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like Easter is the bookends of my ministry. So Easter's always been on my heart. You know, I meet people on Good Friday and I believe there's an Easter morning somewhere mm-hmm. in the story for them, and bringing the hope and the light of the gospel to anyone's situation in tragic loss or home accidental loss at home with children. I just encounter so many people who are just devastated. Mm-hmm. And I love that I can bring the hope through resources or love or a special celebration of life service to them when they could never have imagined that that would be healing for them. So I've already had that kind of the grid of that in my heart. And when someone brought up Joseph of Arimathea, it's like the scripture that I'd known and read about mm-hmm. the Easter weekend story. Like you said, there's these players and characters in the Bible that are so colorful, and yet when we read over them so many times, we miss them. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it was like God wanted me to see him. And I went back and read, and in the Gospels, it says, you know, a wealthy man went to the elected official and asked for the body and was granted it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's what I do mm-hmm. over and over again. I am a wealthy woman. I'm very resourced. I live in the most resourced country in America. I mean, in the world, living in America. Mm-hmm. And I'm educated. And I, you know, I get to go and actually, I didn't have to create a new law. I didn't have to set new policy. It was already in place. And that's what Joseph did. He just went and offered his resources and said, can I have the body? And that's what I do. And then when they grant this to me, because the elected officials oversee the coroner's office and the funeral homes and cemeteries in our country are overseen by laws that all the papers I signed are legal. It just made me, you know, kind of, I had this holy laughter come over me inside of my spirit. Like, you know, isn't that funny that that's what God would have me do with this obscure person in the Bible that was bold enough to go and ask for the body. Mm. I don't know. I think so often too with abandonment, especially at hospitals, I believe that these moms go to the hospital. No mother goes to the hospital with the name of a funeral home director in her back pocket. Mm-hmm. So I get it. She's in shock. She's got hormones raging. The last thing in the world she ever thought she was going to do was probably deliver a baby that was going to pass. Mm-hmm. So I think they're giving her grace and mercy by letting her go home and get her affairs in order. But when she doesn't come back, I think that the tragedy of that for her is that she doesn't get to experience wholeness and healing and mm-hmm. the real grief that she could do that would be really a blessing to her because she had closure. So when I give these babies a funeral and I always put a headstone down, I go back to the hospitals and tell them, you know, this is where this baby is and this is the name I gave them, or this is where this mother can find this baby, because I believe this baby is eternally marked on this mother's heart. And I pray that every mother at some point in her life wants to go back and find her baby, and that I know that she can. She can go back and stand over that grave and see her baby's name written in the dirt and realize this baby not only changed her, but changed the world because they were born. And when the earth is marked with a name, it changes everything.
Amen. I'm just so in awe of what you do and how the Lord is using this, because I've said it, now this is going to be my third time, but this kind of ministry is not offered anyplace else, and it's one that mm-hmm. really speaks to the heart. Now, we are almost out of time for today, but okay. if listeners want to get involved with what you're doing, where can they find you online?
My website is really a great place for people to land, because there's a contact button there, heknowsyourname.org. They can also subscribe to my newsletter there, which is a great place to stay up to date monthly on what it is I'm doing and what's going on. I love posting things and really having lots of call to actions to people, not just for me at He Knows Your Name, but in their own communities and raising awareness for things that they've never thought of before. I'm also on social media. I have a He Knows Your Name Facebook page, and I always post events of upcoming things I'm doing, and I love to invite people to come and stand with me.
I love it. Linda, thank you mm-hmm. so much for stopping by our show today. Our favorite way to close out a podcast is for the listener to pray for the guests. Can you do that for us today?
I would love to. Lord, I just thank you for this time. I am so graciously humbled by the fact that you've given me this calling. And I thank you that you gave me this ministry, and you said to me, you know, in my spirit that this had my name on it. And so I just want the listeners to feel today that they can come before you, because you are a God who still speaks, and they can ask you to be invited into something that has just their name on it so that they can say yes. So God, I pray more than anything that they would be inspired to say yes to you, that they would believe that you have something for them that is special and just for them, so that they can walk out the plans and purposes of Jesus Christ on their life and the gospel of love that you have in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, listeners, for tuning into this show. And thank you, Linda, for sharing your story with us. We are deeply appreciative.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.